Luke 21, and we'll begin reading there in verse 7, and just want to mention a few things this morning about the only hope in a hopeless time. Oh, the only hope in a hopeless time. And so let's stand and we'll read chapter 21 of Luke, verse 7, and we'll just see what the Lord has for us this morning. He says, "And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will be there when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famines, pestilences, fearful sights, and great signs, and there shall be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And you shall be betrayed by both parents, brethren, kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we love you and appreciate you. Lord, as we read the Scripture, we know that it's talking about future days, talking about in the last days, Lord, in the tribulation days. And we pray, Father, that we'll gain from this. God, we'd learn about our day from this passage. And God, we'd be better prepared and better, dear God, ready, Father, to do as you'd ask us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says, where there's breath, there's hope. And so, while you're still breathing, there's great hope. And so, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be to the place where you think all is done and throw up your hands and wave your white flag and say, I'm done. I know sometimes we try to get to that place. Sometimes we feel like, man, this is just too much. I mean, the things are just, it seems like it's just going crazier and crazier. It seems like things are just getting wilder and wilder. It seems like that we're just running to and fro. Seems like I used to be in control, now I'm out of control. Seems like I had things organized in my life, and now everything's disorganized. Seems like everything is just not going as planned, and we just find ourselves sometimes in a confusion. But you know, the only hope today is Christ. The only hope we have is living for Jesus. We've tried living for ourselves, and we try from time to time living for others. But the only one that really brings happiness and joy in our hearts and a contentment and a settlement is Jesus. Honestly. For real. He is the one today that we must look to and must look for. Now in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 is a parallel. I'll read this to you. It's a parallel verse to what we were mentioning right there. Chapter 24 of Matthew in verse 1 through 3. And this is what Matthew has to say about the same subject. He says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verify, I say unto you, there shall not be one left, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And so we find the subject at hand is talking about in the days of Jesus, is talking about the days ahead. Well, the days have come, been done. And now we're saying here in 2017 that we could be in the last days. We could be at the end of the world. We could be 10 more years from now. We could be another 100 years. We don't know, but we know by some things that Jesus said that the time could be near. And what I'm saying, all I'm saying this morning in the way of Sunday school is the only hope we have in this hopeless time. Because it seems like that it seems to be a hopeless day. Now notice here in chapter 21 of Luke, the following of it. The following. The things that are following. I notice he says there in verse 8 of chapter 21 of Luke, he says, "Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." And so he's talking about, don't be deceived. Just don't follow anything. You better be careful in whom you follow. You better be careful in what you follow. Now, it's evident this morning that you're here. It's evident that I'm here. You're following something. You're following something. And so we need to make sure, you need to make sure that you're not following something that Jesus said don't follow. As he says there in at verse 8, he said, "Go ye not therefore after them." So we've got to really pay attention in what we do today. We can't just follow anything. We can't just follow something that glitters. We can't follow something that says, "Follow me." We can't follow something that says, "Hey, I like following that. I like him. I like the way he is. I like his personality. I like them. They're kind. They're sweet. They're welcoming. It's a nice. It's very pleasant." See, all these things is not what we need to look for and to decide what we're going to follow and what we're not going to follow. He tells us in, don't turn there, but in Matthew 24, verse 24, don't follow false Christ. He says in Matthew 24:24 also, don't follow false prophets. He tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, don't follow false teachers. He tells us in 2 John 10, don't follow false teaching. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, 13, don't follow false apostles. He tells us in Galatians 2, 4, don't follow false brethren. So in our world in which we live, there are people who are false brethren. They're false apostles, they're false teachers, there's false teaching, there's false prophets, and there's false Christ. Amen? So those are there. Those are about us, those are around us. And so for us as people this morning, the people of God, to think that there's nothing false out there, we would have to be deceived. And what did Jesus say? Be not deceived. Not everybody's up and up. Not everybody's doing what's right. Not everybody's giving you truth. And so we got to pay attention. Why do we got to pay attention? Because Jesus said, be not deceived. Now, what if we following, and we are following, any of those things the Bible declares to be false? What are we? We're deceived. Right? And we don't want to feel like we're deceived. I mean, if there's anything that somebody would probably anger us and say, "You're deceived." I've heard it this way. "You're brainwashed." I've been told I've been brainwashed many, many times. "You are a cult." Many a times we hear that all the time because we believe in several things. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that His blood only washes away sin. We believe the Bible is literal. We believe that Jesus is coming. And we believe today that you must be saved through repentance and by faith, amen, or by grace through faith. And so in believing that kind of stuff, people puts us in categories. But one category that it's not is false. Amen? So Jesus is saying to them in verse 8, I don't want you to be deceived over some things that are false. False. Now, who to follow? Who not to follow? Well, I mean, I wrote down a few people that you might have heard of, like Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn. Now, have you heard of Benny Hinn? Now, that's just a name, Benny Hinn. I mean, I don't know. I know my name ain't very good, but Benny Hinn is a little bit different. But Benny Hinn, and there's a lot of followers of Benny Hinn. There's thousands of followers, wouldn't you say? Benny Hinn, and I'm just going to tell you one thing he said. Benny Hinn said he is a little Messiah. Now that's what he said. Now, would you classify him true or false? False. How would you do that, and why would you do it? Well, because he said he's a little Messiah. There's no such thing as a little Messiah. There's one Messiah. His name's Jesus, amen? So, Benny Hinn and what he does. Now, you say, well, I've seen Benny Hinn. I've seen Benny Hinn heal people. Surely he's not false. I've seen Benny Hinn take whole sections of auditoriums, like 30 people in a section, and he'd blow. And that whole section got blown on and fell over, and everybody was just there like in a daze. And so he kind of just blew the Holy Ghost on sections. We've seen Benny Hinn do some other things in the way of healing, in the way of bringing forth this laughing and this barking and all that kind of stuff they say when you get full of the Holy Ghost. And so we see Benny Hinn, but we find that he may not be so true. Have you heard of a man named Seth Lowe Dollar? Seth Lowe Dollar is a big, big, big TV preacher. I mean, listen, he's one of the finest, according to what they said. Well, he has a $2 million home. He drives Rolls Royces. He got an $80 million a year salary for ministry. Does that sound right to you? Does it seem like that something's going on about that? You might have heard of Kenneth Copeland before. He said Jesus had to be born again. Now, Kenneth Copeland go back a long ways. They've got tons and multitudes of things. Amen. A lot of people watch. You might have heard this woman before, Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer is one of the top women of pastors and evangelists of all time. I mean, she's pouring in the money, she's pouring in all that. But she said that Jesus paid for our sins when He went to hell and He had 3 days of suffering there. Does that sound right to you? You might have heard this guy too. His name's Joel Osteen. He said he doesn't even know and can't even say whether the devil's going to go to hell or not. And we say all day on Joel. T.D. Jakes, another big, big name, writes books, has lots of people following, and he doesn't even believe in the Trinity. Now, my question to you, and just taking just those few people, that there's a lot of so-called Christian followers that's in the millions that we say in the United States of America that are Christians. That takes a big portion of that. All that. All their churches, all their followers. And who do you follow? Jesus said, be not deceived. And so we notice this morning, Jesus immediately is telling the people, just don't follow anybody. And number two, I notice what Jesus is saying is noticing the fear of it. The fear of it. The fear of where we are today, in a time of hopelessness, we find a fear of instability. We see a fear of disorder. He says in verse 9, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. So he talks about not only the following of this time, of this hopeless time, the following of those that are away from Christ, but then the fear of this time, the hopeless time. There's a great fear. You take, for example, the Afghanistan war, civil war. It's been going on for a long time. It's still going on. You think about the Azerbaijan civil war, the Bahrain civil war, the Bosnia civil war, the Cambodia civil war, the Haiti war, the war between India and Pakistan, the Israel of Lebanon and Palestine's, the war that's going on within Mexico, the North and South of Korea, the Rwanda civil war, the Somalia civil war, the Sudan civil war, the Turkey and versus Greece, the Cyrus, the Indonesia, the Iraq, the Kosovo, Macedonia, Iran, the Philippines, Russia, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Thailand, and on and on and on is war. There's wars within countries. There's wars between countries. There's wars in the country, a war of drugs, a war on women, a war on different subjects and different parts and different people, a war, 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 the fear of it. And so we find in that thought that Jesus is saying is the fear of instability, but then he says there in that same verse and same thought is the fear of destruction. The fear of destruction there in verse 11 as he goes on. And he says to us, the great earthquakes in the diverse places and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and the great signs there shall be from heaven. As we look around, we see great avalanches and great blizzards and cyclones and earthquakes and floods and landslides and heat waves and storms and tornadoes and tsunamis and volcanoes and wildfires and hurricanes and more. Have y'all noticed any of that? Now, all that's been going on for a lot of times, but not at the rate that it's going. There's so much happening that you and I don't even know because it doesn't come out on the media. Brother Wade, from time to time, gives me emails me some things and talks about, especially with earthquakes, how often the earthquakes are and where they're happening and the places in which they're going on. So you feel a change. You feel a moving of more of these are taking place. Greater storms than ever is happening. But have no fear. Talks about fears of famine in verse 11 as well. Talks about famines. And we notice that China is the top producer of wheat. But there's a great drought and dust storms. The worst they've ever had. In India, the record heat waves and water crises are reaching the heights of they've ever been. Russia, wildfires and that started from the heat. France, cold weather and droughts. Canada, of a drought. Ukraine, of fires and droughts. Australia, floodings, which brings drought. Pakistan, with floodings, which brings droughts. And so we find within our very thought or our very mindset of these things that are taking place and that is going forward. And we're thinking, wow, fear. And Jesus said, these are the things that will take place in the last days. And so, as I think about Russia for just a moment, and I think about Iran, and you think about the Bible and its teachings, and the things that God is saying concerning those things, is that in the Bible, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's talking about how that the Russia and Iran will be in Syria. Now, you don't hear this much anymore because it's under the ISIS realm of a battle, right? But do you know that the Russians and Iranians are a mile from Israel? Do you know that? See, that's not spoken of. But in Jeremiah, and there in Isaiah, it's talking about Damascus being destroyed. And Damascus is being destroyed by whom? Well, it's probably going to be destroyed by America and its allies in the fight of ISIS. Well, who is over there supposed to be fighting against this war of ISIS? Russia and Iran. Well, the Bible says in Ezekiel 38-39, the Gog and Magog war. Guess who it's going to be? Iran and Russia coming up against Israel. They're a mile away. And we over the United States of America don't even think about it, don't even know it, but it is Bible prophecy and fulfillment. I mean, it's not that Russia don't belong in Syria. It's not that Iran don't belong in Syria. Iran does belong in Syria and does belong in Iran. You know why? Because the Bible says so. That's how much power and authority that the Scripture has. And when Jesus is talking about these fears of wars and these fears of chaos and these fears of these famines, but then there's fears of people who are dying because of no food. I think I see the other day on TV something about in Ethiopia or someplace, 118 people died of starvation. Did y'all see that on the news? And so we think, wow, that's a lot of people dying for no food. And I was thinking, well, ago we had lots of food, and we had more food than we deserved. Well, ago. And we ate well, and we thank the Lord for that. But there's 24,000 people that die every day. In Asia and Africa and Latin America, 500 million are living in poverty. 15 million children die every year. 4 million people die every year of not able to have food. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the only hope in a hopeless time is Jesus. Jesus has given us this information, and I'm just hitting briefly what it is, giving us all this information, giving us all this truth, so that you and I know that in the days in which we live, He is still our only hope. And we need to go to Jesus. And I know, I'll be honest with you, there's some things that I've done. I've got some 24-year food. It comes in a box. It lasts for 24 years. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You bought some of that? Does anybody else have any 24-year? You got some? Y'all got some? Y'all don't have any? I'll borrow you. I'll give you some. Yeah. There's some things in there I don't like anyway. I'll just give that to you. You know how you give people stuff, right? You go through your house and whatever you don't want, you give it to your friend or you bring it to the church. Or you call the church, hey, pastor, I love the church. I just want to be a blessing and I want to be a help. And I just want to be able to give you something. Do you know anybody that can have this? And so you bring a bed and a table and a chest drawer and you bring it to the church, put it in the fellowship hall. And then, yeah, I just want to be a real blessing. Really, you just want to get rid of it. And you just start at the church. Brother Larry said, no, I don't think we need it. Okay, then boom, we find somebody else. And hey, I just want to be a blessing to you. It's always, I want to be a blessing. But I hardly ever see anybody give the church anything that's new. Hey, Brother Larry, I want to buy you something. It's never buying anything. It's always getting something that you want to get out of your garage. I'm just telling the truth, right? Too honest. There's the truth. I don't know how I even got off on that because I'm not even talking about that. Yeah, okay. And then there's the fear of disease. In verse 11 of Luke 21, he talks about the pestilences and things of that nature tonight and this morning. You know, there's 335 new infectious diseases today. 335 new infectious diseases than there ever has been. Sexual diseases is rising. Cold-related diseases is rising. Respiratory diseases is rising. Waterborne diseases is rising, infectious diseases is rising, diabetes is rising, heart disease is rising, heart disease. Every year, 616,000 die, cancer, 502,000, strokes, 135,000, Alzheimer's, 74,000, diabetes, 71,000, people die from the flu, 52,000. Just die, diseases. The other day I was somewhere and these people running around, I was at the airport, running around with this little mask on. I see people running around in their masks. I'm thinking, you're crazy. But then I see 335 new infectious diseases. I'm crazy. Right? I should be running around with a mask. I remember several years ago that when I bought that food, that 25-year food, I bought some other things. I bought some stuff to turn bad water to good water. You know, you put a pill or whatever in there. Then I bought some other stuff where, you can make any kind of water drinkable, you know, in case you don't have water, so drinkable. And one of the things that I did buy, I bought some masks. You know, masks you put on in case there's some kind of chemical deal. It's a gray mask, has a little thing. Then you could change out those little filters there. So the other day, at the house, Kevin was there. He come walking around. He had the mask on. It was just funny looking. You know, I'm thinking, wow. And so they're laughing at the mask. But if something ever happens, right, we got a mask, and they're going to be looking for a mask. But that was just a funny thing. But there's so many things today that Jesus is speaking of during this day that seems to be. Now I may just be overreaching here. I may just be wanting to think this, and you help me with this, but it just seems like the days of Luke 21 is becoming the days in which we live. In the way of fear. In the way of fear. But in the way of following too. Because we as a people about this church and I want to take this as a right pride, but we pride ourselves and being obedient to the Lord. And we decide and we determine that what we preach and what we teach and how we live is from biblical perspectives. And when we tell others about the Lord, we tell them how to be saved, we tell them how the Bible says to be saved, to be born again. Well, you get few results with that. You get few of, it seems like, followers with that. And you think, well, are we living in the days? I think that one thing proves even greater to me that people are following everything but Bible. People don't want Bible. People don't want truth. People don't want to be told what the Bible says, what Jesus said, what Jesus is explaining and what's coming forth in the days ahead. They don't want to hear that. But they are interested in hearing something and following anyone. And then we find the fears. But then I notice the fight of it. The fight of this time. Look in verse 12. In verse 15, the Bible says, "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you." Now we haven't so much has seen that here in the United States, but the greatest people of persecution is Christians, not Muslims. Muslims are persecuting Christians. So it's Christians today are the greatest of persecution. It says, "And persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall say. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And you shall be betrayed by both parents, brethren, kinsfolks, friends. Some of you shall they cause to be put to death." The fight. Not only the following of this hopeless time, but the fear of this hopeless time. But then there's a fight in this hopeless time. And so we look at the fight. To live as Christians is loving Jesus. And as we look at this fight, we see that in this fight, it's not just you and I that is involved. And yet in verse 12, he says that because of my name's sake, you're going to be persecuted. But then in verse 15, he says, "I'm going to give you a mouth and wisdom." That means you're going to be able to speak to your adversaries. You're going to be able to go through that. But then when you get in verse 16, he's saying that you shall be betrayed by both parents. Now that hits hard to me. Does that hit hard to you? That seems to be very, very difficult for me to understand. That there would be a time when the family, such as the parents, they would betray you. That's hard. Because from the world that I came from, the people that would love me the most would be the parents. The ones today that from my world and where I came from and how I was raised, the parents were the ones that just made things right. I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what happened to you as a young child. You just had mom and dad. And I remember growing up and playing until you even get married in times, you get into financial situations or you get into other things that seem to be complicated. You could go talk to mom and dad, and they seem like they would just have, not always the answers, but they could just help you along the way. But man, when you think about the days are coming when the parents are betraying you. Think about abortion. It used to be a place, the safest place for a baby was in the womb of a mother. Right? That's not so. There's so much murder and betraying going on with these babies in the wombs of mothers. More and more it seems that you find, other day I was reading in a mom just drowned 7 of her children. Another dad then killed 4 of his children. Another one cut the head off of their child. Man, the days in which we live are, I mean, even for children in the way of abuse, in the way of sexual abuse and physical abuse, the way of abuse in not raising children and just letting children just raise themselves. We find abuse even on the seem like it would be the positive side. And that's this, you know, kids at 6 years old having cell phones. Girls at the age of 7 or 8 wearing makeup and getting their eyebrows waxed and getting fingernails. Boys at the age of 10 going to the mall with 3 other boys at the age of 10 just dropped off to do whatever they do at the mall. That's abuse. That's abuse. And we find that's betraying. Parents betraying their children. And so the Bible is, again, kind of giving us a hopeless time, but there's hope. We find brethren, brothers and sisters. We find only the parents surrendering their children. We find siblings yielding up their siblings. Brothers and sisters, we was talking earlier today, me and Brother Raymond, that there was a time when brothers and sisters stuck together. There's a time whenever things were home and when dad wasn't the right dad or the mom wasn't the right mom, that the brothers and sisters stood up, stepped in, and provided some sort of food or some sort of stability or protection, because that's my sister. That's my brother. And we find that loyalty and we find that allegiance today don't seem to be so any longer. Brothers and sisters, you know, in my thought and in my heart, when my dad died, of course, dad was dad, and dad was the one who protect all, and dad was the one who provide for all. Dad was the one who was the strong and the strength and all that which you would identify as a dad. And I was fortunate and blessed to have a dad with such strength. And so when he passed, he said to me, he said, make sure you take care of mom. He said, "My daughter." I told Tracy, I said, "Tracy, I said, whatever goes on, I'm here." Now, why is all that? Oh, because there's a mom and dad and a brother and sister, and it's just natural to provide and natural to get and natural to. Now, do you disagree with them? Yeah. Are they Christians? No. Or they may be. They grew up in the same home. Why don't they have the same values? Why don't they have the same mindset? What happened to them? You know, were they really? Maybe they were adopted. You know, we say all the time whenever somebody, a brother or sister, acts weird, "You're adopted, man. We don't know who you are." You know, but all those set aside, there is a down inner woven connection. But on this day, at the end of days, before Jesus comes, there's going to be brothers and sisters, brethren, just betraying each other. It's not going to matter. I notice the next one is kinsfolks, uncles and aunts and those that of your family, those I see it. It seems there was a time, I remember when I was young, y'all might have had these before. Have y'all had family reunions? Family reunions? Y'all have family reunions? How many of y'all have family reunions today? Don't have them. You have sisters, right? Y'all go, your sisters have a little gathering? But it's just the sisters, right? It's not the whole family. You just don't go. So, that's unusual. Family gatherings. Years ago, 30, 40 years ago, that was a normal activity. Everybody come together in the family and see each other and tell each other how big they've gotten or how small they've gotten or how tall they've gotten or how much you've gotten. I remember going to those things and, "Well, look at you, oh Aunt Betsy Sue. Oh, look at you. You sure have grown. And, oh, come over, Aunt Betsy Sue." And she'll hug you and all that stuff, you know. Go through all that. What do all that mean? Well, we're headed to this place. We don't have family reunions no more. You know why? Because our kins folks just don't care. Everybody's living their own life, doing their own thing. There's no connection no more. We can't even sit down at the table with a family and eat together without our phones. Or without a TV on and somebody sitting in the recliner, somebody, a couple sitting on the chair, some over here on the couch, and we got our food and we're eating it very inconveniently because we're having to hold our plate up and we're having to hold it out there. We're eating and we're not talking much, but we're watching the TV. Or we're at the table and all of us have our phones and we're doing all this kind of things. Why wouldn't this scripture be not applicable for today in 2017 when we can't even meet together in our own house? The betraying of kinsfolk is not too far away. And we find today that our own family would betray us. Put a knife and turn it into our backs. That's what it says. Talks about not only that, but talks about friends. Friends betraying each other. You know, they always said this, if you find one friend and one true friend, one, what is it called, BBF? Best friend forever, BFF? Best friend forever? Y'all ever use that? No? I'm about to send, you know, Brother Gary Britton is a very good friend of mine, best pastor friend I have. I'm about to send him a BBF, a BFF. He's going to say, "What are you sending me, man?" But friends, I mean, do we really have friends? Honestly, could you say that I have a friend? And I got somebody that it will stick thick and thin, that he will be there, she'll be there. I mean, no matter what, I and just I mean, I vented out on them, and boy, I know that was wrong, but man, I let them have it. I got mad at them. I didn't talk to them for 6 weeks. But every time I call and say, I'm sorry I treated you that way, they say, I'm your friend. No matter what, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. Friends. Not many friends no more. Amen? I'm going to tell you something that's not in here, and I'm going to close. It says in verse 16, and you shall be betrayed by both parents, mother and father, brethren, that's your sister and brother, kinsfolks, aunt, uncles, cousins, grandma, grandpa, friends, would include neighbors and co-workers. But don't say anything about church. You're not going to find the Lord's church betraying you. Not real true Christians. You know why? Because during these days of no hope, we're together. I'll just be honest with you. I got family just like you got family. But I'm closest to this family. This family has done more for me than any family has done. This family here is a family that will go with me in the direction I'm going in until it's over. Amen? Thank God. Thank God for the church. But in the hopeless times, we have hope because we have Christ and Christ's body and Christ's church. I'm not able to finish because time's gotten away, but just wanted to bring those little things, give you hope today that there is hope. Amen? Just kind of wanted you to see maybe just an oversight of maybe where the world is at today, that many times we get blurred vision or we get tunnel vision and we live in our own world and it's all we know of. And the only way that things are not going so well is if we have an insufficient check. Or if we go to the pantry, we don't have a can of pinto beans. Or we get home from the table, we wanted tacos and she says we're having a bowl of cereal. Then that blows your whole world up. But there's a greater world than that out there. And we're coming to an end. And I pray that you know Jesus, but that you're walking with Jesus. Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace. We ask you now, Lord, lead and guide this next hour, Lord, that you may save a soul. God, that's our desire, is that souls be saved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.